It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Plains Cotton Growers CEO, Cody Besson. First off, World Ag Outlook Board Chairman, Dr. Mark Jackanowski, on this month's milk production forecast.
The demand story also shows up in terms of dairy product prices. And noteworthy here that butter is the main dairy product this month, really the only dairy product this month where we raised our price forecast. So our butter price forecast is now at $2.92 per pound. That was raised this month by 13 cents per pound, just reflecting that strong domestic and global demand. In terms of the dairy class prices, so class 3 price was reduced by 95 cents per hundredweight this month, and that reflects those lower price adjustments for cheese and whey. And class 4 prices, on the other hand, were raised by 30 cents per hundredweight, and that reflects that strength in butter markets and butter prices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Cody Besson. Cody is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Cody, first, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We're always very grateful to be on the show.
And we're inching our way closer to May, and that means we've got some deadlines coming up for cotton planting in some areas of the region. But I guess before we get there, let's talk about the cotton that's already in the ground. Where is it, and what's it look like?
Yeah, so our folks in far south Texas, the Corpus Victoria, the Rio Grande Valley area, they have certainly been well underway as far as planting and getting a crop established. It looks really good right now. They've had ample rainfall, good growing conditions, good amount of fertilizer and inputs being put into the crop, with the hope that this year will be a very successful year. So they're off to a good start. We're off to the races in Texas. You kind of get outside of our area in the Mid-South throughout the rest of the Cotton Belt. They've had some challenges. One of the challenges is they've received a lot of moisture during the planting conditions. So it's been a struggle for them to get really into the field and get everything planted. So that may have some weight on the total amount of acres they get planted to cotton or to another subsidiary-based crop, but time will tell on that. But we are off to a really good start this year overall as far as cropping conditions compared to the last couple of years. So folks, as you move kind of further north from a Texas standpoint, throughout the rolling plains and the panhandle and southern high plains of Texas, we've had a couple of recent rainstorms that have certainly energized the community to have a robust year. Now we certainly need more ample rainfall as we go throughout the growing season, but folks are putting out fertilizer. They're doing a pre-application to combat weeds. And so we're getting really ramped up and ready to start the planting season within the area. We need soil temperatures to warm up a little bit. So today within the area, it's about 90 degrees, which will help with that, but we still need it to warm up just a little bit. We're about 55 to 58 degrees. We'd like to see kind of that sweet spot of about 60 degrees soil temperature to really start moving and getting everything in the ground.
And the largest cotton growing region in the U.S. is kind of in that southern high plains area around Lubbock, but still grow cotton back to the west in New Mexico, Arizona, California, and then back to the east, some big areas like the Delta and, well, obviously the Southeast region. Have you heard from any other areas as to how things are shaping up there?
Yeah, as far as California, they're shaping up fairly well. They grow a different type of cotton in that area. They grow ELS. We grow some of that here in Texas as well, in New Mexico. Most are kind of the same position that we're in. They're ample growing conditions to plant a crop, but we'll need to have a continuance of good rain conditions, good temperatures going throughout the growing season. As you move kind of, as you mentioned, in the Delta, the Mid-South, they should have some pretty well ample acres or average acres. One of the limiting factors is just the additional rainfall that they've received to be able to get in the field and put it in a timely manner. But once it kind of dries up, or at least opens conditions overall, they can get in and move into that field very quickly. And same in the Southeast standpoint too. So I think, we've heard from multiple resources of the planting intentions report from USDA, the NCC survey, and other data that has come out. I think we'll be on about an average par year for planting conditions. One thing that's a little bit stressful at this point in time that people are looking at aside from inputs is where commodity prices are at. And cotton commodity prices are certainly taking a slip in the near term, not by driven by anything other than really speculation in the marketplace, simply because there's no idea of what this crop is really going to look like yet. Even though we've had some rainfall, we still got a long way to go with this crop.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of times we'll focus on the fiber side for obvious reasons for cotton, but we have another component there that's worth something, and that's cotton seed. Matter of fact, the farm bill, that's part of the program under the farm bill is the cotton seed side of it. Is there anything going on in that realm of the industry that producers need to know about or are keeping up with right now?
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, the Farm Bill process is a five-year process. Everybody knows this, unless it kind of continues on through extensions, but we're hopeful that it won't be that way. Everybody is getting really ramped up to start the chairman's mark, hopefully by the end of May. As he has indicated in public settings. And I think folks will be very proud of what has been developed the last several years of industry talks and trying to ramp up a more viable safety net for producers. You mentioned the seed cotton program. You know, a key component of that is we're working very diligently to try to marginalize the seed cotton reference price or bring it up to par of where it costs to do business today. I think we'll get there when it's all said and done. Same for the marketing loan program, trying to modernize it and bring it up to more status quo of where cost of doing business is at today. A key component we've talked about before is, you know, currently today, if you participate in stacks, you're ineligible for participation in Title I. And so we're trying to make some remedies of that and modernize that. In addition to that, bringing up some more elevation and more par or parity for the ELS program for the loan side of it. Because we do see more ELS being grown, not just in California and Arizona, but in New Mexico, but we're seeing some of that infiltrate Texas too, just try to help those growers that are growing that type of crop as well. And then additionally, we've focused on this the last couple of years because infrastructure has really been struggling for various reasons, but the main reason is because of the lack of crop. And so we're working on trying to develop some sort of a risk management tool that industry can take advantage of. So in the event, if we get back into a year like we've seen in 2022 and 2023, unfortunately, and we will see some of those at some point in time again, but we'll have the risk management tools in place that industry can combat that and still survive going into a new crop year.
I believe it was last week, the chairman of the House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson, joined by other members of the committee. They have an opportunity after really the business of the day is done to have an hour where they can talk about whatever they want. And G.T. Thompson chose the next farm bill and the importance of the farm bill and then had friends and members join him. Does that kind of set the stage to let us know that we're getting close?
It does. I mean, it's coming and we're ready. And we're going to be pushing and advocating alongside the chairman, alongside the ranking member, both the Senate and the House, in order to secure a bill that producers and industry alike can be very proud of at the end of the day. Some of the politics in play that come in and out of that is obviously we're in an election cycle, so there's some dynamics we have to play with in there. There's some other high-level pieces of legislation that they have to get done. You know, by example, they just finished the defense authorization bill over the weekend. And so now that's kind of cleared the deck, that really sets the tempo and the pace for how we can get a bill done on time before the end of the calendar year to make sure that producers know what's there for them from a safety net standpoint. Their lenders know what's there for a safety net standpoint. And a lot of security being built into this process. So there's going to be some nicks along the way and some challenges. We're prepared to address those as we get geared up. But I do ultimately want to say that I do believe at the end of the day, the policy that will be adopted, that producers, members alike will be very proud of that, and it will reflect where we're at as far as cost of doing business today.
Cody, we talk about getting a new farm bill, and you can get legislation passed, but you also have to get it funded, and we do that through the appropriations mechanism. How is that moving forward? Because we're looking at what will be the 25 fiscal year appropriations, right?
That's right. It's moving forward pretty well. We do have a new chairman of the Appropriations Committee, Tom Cole out of Oklahoma. He's a very dynamic and very, very strategic individual as far as trying to lay out a pathway forward to fund everything. And I do think we'll get there. It may be a timeline of working in through the end of the year after some of the elections process, but he's very charismatic. He's very well respected. Certainly is working his membership to make sure that we get programs funded that are necessary to move forward within not only the farm bill, but other programs that are necessary before the end of the calendar year. That way, folks have some certainty moving into the 2025 year as well.
And do we have any ideas on the Senate side? Because at this point, it will be up to the majority leader of the Senate to bring something to the floor there. Do we think there's enough support to get legislation across the floor there?
We do, at least at this point in our snapshot in time, you know, given the fact that the majority leader does control the tempo of the floor. You know, one thing, and we've discussed this in recent listenings, is you have the chairwoman that is retiring from the Senate, and certainly this would be a great way for her to exit the Senate gracefully and creating a robust farm bill that works for everyone. And so once the chairman in the House, G.T. Thompson, marks his bill up and receives from a legislative standpoint floor time to move it forward, I do think you'll start seeing a lot more commotion and action in the Senate. They're working largely behind the scenes, which is great. Getting ready and getting geared up. They just want to see the process move forward and then kind of can react and come together on a conference and negotiate some of the differences out. So,
well, again, if you want to keep up with what's happening at Plains Cotton Growers, it's online, plainscotton.org, plainscotton.org. CEO of Plains Cotton Growers is Cody Besant on today's Agribusiness Report.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Cody Besant, CEO, Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
This is the Agribusiness Report. You can keep up with Plains Cotton Growers online, plainscotton.org.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Continued adjustments down in milk production. Part of USDA's dairy forecast for April. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski says the lower production forecast was minimal for this month.
We did adjust production down by 900 million pounds, just reflecting lower growth in output per cow.
Global and domestic milk product demand remains strong.
And the product that really stands out in terms of demand strength is butter. We're seeing strong imports of butter as well as exports of butter.
He adds demand is also reflected in recent product and class prices. As butter is the only product this month with an increased month-over-month price forecast.
All milk price we lowered this month by 35 cents per hundredweight, so now it is currently forecast at $20.90 per hundredweight. That's almost flat with last year, up just 42 cents per hundredweight year-over-year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.